Let's do this.
Funny.
Funny? Okay. Be funny. Go on. I dare you.
Well, Mexicans hate Corona.
Oh.
That's what I find funny.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly?
I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Episode 731 of the Overseas Connection podcast. Today, April 23rd, 2023. And we are now officially less than a month away from our Vegas extravaganza. Because it's just going to be the thing on my mind. Sorry. It's
Vegas on my mind.
That's the most important thing. Yeah. Vegas on the mind. Hey, we are a video game podcast. If you are new to us, welcome. Congratulations. You have officially tuned into the best, worst podcast ever. We are on Twitch. We are on YouTube every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. in the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, 3 p.m. Central Time Zone. We also would put forward an audio version just for you, that audio listener, so you can dance to us as you listen. Yeah, the Robin Dance. That's what I'm going to call it.
No.
Oddly, it looks like the gopher from... You know what I'm talking about, Kim.
Yep, the Caddyshack gopher.
Yep, the Caddyshack gopher. All right, you know, speaking of, Kim Woods on the podcast. Kim, hello. Welcome back.
Howdy, howdy. I'm glad to be here. It's slightly cold here today, unfortunately. Mother Nature has apparently forgotten to take her pill, so I'm having to wear long pants and long sleeves, and it sucks. So, anyway, but I'm happy to be here.
She forgot to take her pill.
I thought she was pregnant for a second.
Oh, so did I. I was like, this is the...
Well, maybe she is, and maybe that's why she's pissed off and it's cold again, so...
I don't know.
That'll make me.
Robin Tate on the podcast with mood lighting.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, everybody. It's me. Thank you very much. Robin Tate here. Glad to be on the show. Papa Tapa Doodle Doo, rock fans.
I got to admit, I'm really afraid. I am sharing a room with Robin.
All right.
All right. Well, welcome, Robin.
Thank you.
Glad to see you again.
Thank you.
And yeah, I think we can kind of get into some stuff like a birthday. Mm-hmm. Kim, I think it's appropriate that you talk about this birthday.
Oh, okay. Well, my dad is actually having a birthday on Tuesday. He will be 72 years old. So even though you won't...
72 years young.
Yeah, right? And not a day over, because God bless the man. Right now, he's mowed my yard. He's out mowing my sister's yard. And I've already talked to Greg. He might go mow Greg's yard. So, you know, the man is a mowing fool.
Ooh.
Yep. Happy birthday, Pop. I know you'll never hear this, but I love you.
Do you want to sing him a song, Kim?
I do not, because I can't carry a tune in a bucket.
What?
But, oh, God, no.
Oh, yeah. That reminds me
sure
of something.
Good.
No, not
Robin
even a
birthday
handle.
Help her out. To you. Happy birthday. Insert name here. Happy birthday to you!
Gentleman was not recognized.
Kim, you were supposed to insert his name there.
Oh,
you were
sorry.
Supposed to, yeah.
Yeah.
Jim, yeah. Happy birthday, Jim. Damn it, Jim, happy birthday.
Damn it, Jim. I'm a grass right. cutter, not a
let's
brain surgeon.
Show, Robin.
Pardon?
Story time.
Oh, yeah.
Story time, hooray, it's story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
Well, Kim, since it is your dad's birthday coming up and you were grooving to the tunes there, I think we should start with you.
Oh.
What's been going on your side of the world?
Oh, you know, so many things. I got a new watch. I got a Pixel watch because it's got Fitbit integrated into it, even though my sister was begging me to get a Samsung, but I didn't. I don't know. The battery life sucks. Yeah, but, yeah, well, that's...
Well, now, when you say the battery life sucks, actually, okay, let's back this up. I have additional questions. Your sister was begging you to get a Samsung. Why was that the case?
She just likes, she's got one, and she absolutely loves it. She doesn't understand my attachment to Fitbit.
Okay.
Robin does. But, you know, so, but this has Fitbit on it, and it's a watch, and everybody's giving me crap because all I had was a Fitbit. They're like, well, you can't make calls with it, yada, yada. Well, I'm not going to walk around like this talking to my fucking watch either, but...
Hey, right? I've done it numerous times at the store. It actually comes in handy.
I've heard it does work really well, so I don't know. I'll have to try it out at some point. But
when you're clearing out to Walmart, you have to have both hands free. So
right,
absolutely.
Right. So anyway,
you can't loot with just one hand.
I got the Google Pixel. I got the Google Pixel Watch. The battery life, it does suck, which I knew reading reviews it's going to be bad.
So now, what does that mean when you say that battery life sucks?
I'm used to a Fitbit, and usually you can get 5 to 7 days out of those, generally, unless you're using them real heavy. Well, with this, I'm lucky to get, like, a day and a half. So, and I'm not even using it real heavy. I mean, I've got, like, it only vibrates to let me know about notifications. I don't have the ringer on or any of that extra whatnot. So, basically, for me, right now, it's just a glorified Fitbit. But, you know, but I knew that battery life was going to be iffy, because even on the Samsung, some of them...
Yeah, I was just going to say, battery life's about 2 days. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, that is what it is. And I don't know. I'm having a little issue, though, with the heart rate monitor because it doesn't actually measure it. Like, I was working out on an exercise bike the other day. I apparently couldn't get it above 90. And I knew that was wrong because on my Fitbit, it'll go all the way up to, like, 150, 160, whatever. I couldn't get it to read on this thing above 90. And it kept telling me I wasn't doing enough. And I'm like, well, that's not right. I know it is. You know,
work harder, Kim. Pedal faster, like, you stupid lazy ass. Come on.
I'm going like 14 miles an hour, and my Fitbit's like, yeah, no, that's not going to work. Yeah, I'm like, how much more do you want me to go? So I don't know. It did say, you know, you're supposed to wear it like what is it, an inch above your wrist bone when you're working out. But if you're not working out, you can wear it lower than that. And fuck, I don't know. So I switched to a smaller strap thinking maybe that might do it. So, I don't know.
I love that you said that, and Rob and I both instantly looked at her wrist.
I've never heard that before. Is that an inch? Is it? Yeah.
I don't. That's according to the instructions. That's what, if you take two fingers and put it above your wrist bone, that's where you're supposed to wear your watch.
Oh, apparently. Yeah. I'm not even close.
Right. Mine was like down here, you know.
Yeah.
So it
I wear mine like a regular watch. Now, for the record, though, these things... As accurate as they are, they're still never going to be accurate because the step counting is pretty comical.
Yeah, when I'm driving the car, it goes, congratulations, you've hit your step count today. What? I've been sitting here for 3 hours. What?
Yeah, I even saw one woman who had hers up here, like, around her bicep, and I'm like, well, I'm not doing that.
You know where Pete wears his?
She needs to work on her biceps then, because if she can fit her wristwatch on her arm, that's right? Saying something.
So you do know where Pete wears his Fitbit?
I have a pretty good idea. Anyway.
It slips off all the time.
Can't get a strap small enough, yeah.
Yeah, I got a new watch, so we'll see how it goes. I've only had it about a week, so I don't know. I'm stuck with it now because I'm making payments to Verizon for like the next 3 years to pay it off.
Right.
So either way, I'm stuck with it, but whatever. It's not bad. It's not terrible. And I don't mind having to, you know, charge it up at least once a day. It's not a big deal because usually I have to charge my phone up at least once a day.
Right. And what I found, what I ended up doing, just as a FYI, I found on Amazon there was a charging plate. You know, a fast charging plate, but it had one side was for your watch, the other side was for your phone. And just at night, I just pop them right on there, and it recognizes the phone and it starts charging.
Oh,
so
nice!
Yeah, I still have my Fitbit. This has probably been my third one, and I do like it. It's good, but yeah. I would like something with a heartbeat. Because again, I get back to the sim racing thing because I've seen
what's your wife. Has a heartbeat. Yeah. You do have something with
still
a heartbeat.
But a few people on their stream screen have their heart rate on, which I think is really interesting because when they're racing and they're getting quite stressed, the heart rate goes up, and I think that would be quite nice. And I don't know, do I have to? Yeah, I've stayed away from Apple Watch. My eyesight's terrible, so I mean, as far as this, so I don't, you know, it's the biggest face that I can get on it and stuff like that there. I mean, you should see the size of the text on my phone. My goodness.
Oh, no, I can believe that. I've seen my dad, so.
Yeah, so, but I don't know. I don't know. The whole Apple Watch thing is, I don't know. Don't know.
Nicole is currently bragging about her Fitbit being a 5 to 6 day Fitbit, so.
Of course.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we hear you, Nicole. But can you talk into your wrist? No, you cannot.
I feel like Dick Tracy, you know.
It's very much a Dick Tracy moment. I mean, right? it's the funniest thing in the world. You're like, I literally can talk into my watch, and it works. And if you have it tied to your plan, which I'm assuming you do, mm-hmm. I can leave my phone in the car. I'll be in the store, and I still can actually place a call, respond to a text, that kind of thing. So
right.
Although responding to text, let me just say this.
Right.
There's some automated responses that are kind of helpful.
Right.
For the most part, though, I just always record. And amazingly, the phone does a horrible job of recording my voice whenever I do voice to text. But the watch actually seems to be pretty damn accurate. So maybe it's because I'm doing smaller messages. I'm just kind of like, you know,
To be this thing at the moment with messages and people recording their voices. So one of Judith's friends, Rachel, they send messages to each other. And that's when she's arguing about it. And she seems to, it's like an SMS, like an Apple message. But when Judith plays it, it's like at twice the speed. So it's like a text message. But this is what all the youngins are doing now. So they, instead of typing, they do a quick voice text, they send it, but it plays back at twice the speed, and they fire them back. Instead of actually phoning the person and having a conversation, it's like a little 10, 15 second bits of audio.
Huh. Well, that just, you know, it helps, you know, avoid having to be actually be in contact with people. A lot of young people have that problem. The whole social interaction thing, they'd rather not actually talk to somebody.
Oh, my industry at the moment is changing at a rapid pace of knots. So in convenience stores, now where you would have had 3 or 4 people at a till, you'll have maybe 1 or 2 and 3 or 4 self-service automated tills. So, and speaking to some of my clients now, you know, they're even talking about their kids. You know, my kids, they're 14, 15, they'll go into the store. They don't want to speak to somebody at the deli, so they'll pick up the self-service item and then they'll self-service themselves out, and they don't have to speak to anyone. And that's, we're losing a skill. I mean, it really is bad. Yes, convenience is great, but you lose that interaction with people. That's not good. So I have to work out how I can make money out of that.
By the way, a skill I do not seem to lose ever is being wrong. Nicole said I'm wrong. She can't answer her Fitbit, so
okay, yay for Nicole. Jesus, whatever you do, spell it correctly.
All right, what else, Kim? What else has been going on?
Oh, I've had a little situation. One of my cats is having a behavioral problem. She's now peeing at the front door. I don't know why she's peeing at the front door. I took her to the vet, spent $150. They thought she had a bladder infection, so I had her on 2 weeks of antibiotics for that. That didn't clear up. She's still mad at me or mad at dad or mad at someone, and she's still peeing at the front door. So if anybody has any tips out there as to how I can get this damn cat to stop pissing at my front door.
Is she an indoor-outdoor cat?
No, she's an indoor cat.
Well, maybe that's the problem. She wants to be outdoor, so she's a little pissed off.
I tried letting her out in the mudroom, and it was cold out there, and she immediately wanted right back in, so I'm like, all right, so that's not the thing. So I don't know what's wrong with her, but she's kind of a pain in the ass anyway, but I'm assuming she's mad at someone.
Now, let me ask this other question. Have you actually thoroughly cleaned the pee from the front door?
Well, as best as I can, because we got laminate flooring, so, I mean, I can't leave, like, water or anything on it for too long, or then you scrub the flooring, so I don't know. I've got some other
stuff
I'm
just wondering
if
the scent... Right. You know, that lingering scent's there, so she's like, oh, this is still my cat box.
Right, so I don't know. I may end up having to pull the section of flooring up right there and replace, because we've got replacements for it, but, you know, I'm trying to figure that out, too. I've actually got, believe it or not, I've actually got, like, a silicone mat, because I've had to pull the rug up that was there, because she just kept peeing on the rug. Pulled that up, thinking that was a problem. Well, she goes right back to peeing on the floor, so I'm like, well, that wasn't apparently a problem. So now I've got like a silicone, like a mat coming that I'm going to put down in front of the door there. So at least if she pees on something, she'll pee on that and it's easy to clean up and it won't damage my floor. Until I can figure out what the fuck her psychotic problem is and why she's mad at me and peeing on my floor.
If you really want to solve the problem, just send her to Robin.
not right. No, I like the cat. She's just having some sort of issue. You know, she's a teenager, so apparently we're having a spat of some sort.
I'm an expert in silicone. I can help right there, so no problem.
I was wondering where that was going, Robin. I now understand. I was watching you fondle yourself for a little bit there, and I was like... Again, I am really concerned about sharing a room with Robin.
Spoon me. No, it's my turn.
Up latex. Be worried.
Kim, you have no idea. I was not his roommate when I went to the UK. I did not stay in the same room with him, but I still am scarred. That should say enough.
Yeah. Right. And another cat news. I've got 3 litters of kittens that I didn't actually want, but here we are. And it's funny because all 3 mama cats have moved the kittens into one spot, and now all 3 of them are all feeding all 3 litters of kittens. So I have a cat triple going on now.
Oh my goodness. Post me some over.
No, that's all right. I know what happens with you and cats and rabbits.
And rabbits.
Robin wants to set up a solemn course.
Right. So anyway, other than that, I finished a book this week. It was called Nettle and Bone. It's by T. Kingfisher. And it's basically what it is it's a fantasy book. And basically what it is if you took all the bit players from a fairy tale and then threw them all together, this is what would happen. And basically what it amounts to is there's a witch, a fairy godmother, a nun who could also be a princess because she's supposed to be a princess, but they shipped her off to a convent, and a disgraced knight, and they're all teaming up to kill an asshole prince.
As you do.
It's Game of Thrones.
Right. Very much. Okay. And there's even a demon chicken, which I found hilarious. So,
demon chicken.
There was a chicken with a demon in it. So there was a demon chicken. So that was odd. But anyway, it was a really good book. It took me a couple of chapters to get into it, but after that, it was smooth sailing from then on out. So if you like those sort of things, you like demon chickens, Nettle and Bone by T. Kingfisher. Check it out.
Ironically, I think Robin might know a demon chicken.
Yeah,
is that the rooster that attacked
right?
him?
Yeah, well, or else it's one of those spicy boxes from KFC you get. So demon chicken.
Well, you and Anthony would have a thing in common because back when he was little, he was attacked by a rooster. And to this day, he will not go around chickens because he's worried they're gonna.
Well, the attack of the rooster. I mean, it's the score is. I suppose I did get rid of that one too. No, did I? Did, yes. So the score, I wasn't involved in the final departing of that rooster, but I did take I did take 2 others out, and that was my what do you call it? Darn it, the guy that kills people. He works for the police.
Executioner.
He works for the police in Miami. No. And he puts plastic all around the room, and then he throws the bodies in the sea. What is the name of that TV series?
Clearly not it went, police.
Yeah, he was a blood splatter guy.
Oh, you're talking about the show Dexter?
Dexter, yes. I had my Dexter moment with the original 2 roosters when I took them into my workshop with a big knife, and I came out and the kids asked me what happened to the roosters as I was carrying
Robin,
the knife in
Robin
my hand.
Cut
and
the head off the cock. That again.
Yeah. Yeah, I was there. Yeah. I was that man. Yes, they looked at me differently from that time onwards. Yeah, speaking of animals, Judith, when I was away on business this week, and she phoned me from the car with Jasmine, who's now 5, precociously, in the car, and told me that we were getting a bunny.
Oh,
another
no.
bunny. So there's a target for Jasmine as for the star chart thing, and once she gets to 30 stars, she'll get a bunny. And I told you this, and we're getting a bunny, RIP bunny. So it's like a death. You're absolutely right, Kim. It's a death sentence for bunnies coming here.
Poor feller.
I'm trying to convince her that when we see a dog on the television screen, that's a bunny. But Judith really isn't having it whatsoever. And
would the dog be any safer?
Yeah, doggy would come with me. It would be a car doggy.
Yeah, but you run over the dog.
Knock it down, I mean. I would knock the car dog down.
Sorry, yes, knock it over. My bad. What am I thinking? What else, Robin? What's going on with you?
Well, it has been a crazy week. I was away. There was another, I think I worked it out the other night. It was over 1,300 miles in 5 days, which is just... stupid. So a lot of traveling this week. I did have 1 night away, Then we had some foster kids left us on Friday, the two girls, and our two little Muslim lads came back in again, our Irish Muslims. They were here for the weekend, so we're really, really busy with them. You know, Saturdays for me is just nutty. I mean, first thing in the morning on a Saturday for me is take Taylor to his martial arts class. And while he was there, I went and got a nice big roast for today and some bits of shopping because his class is only an hour. It's not worth coming home. And then I came home and then Jasmine was going to see her birth mum. So she was away there. Then the two little lads that we had for the weekend, it was Eid, the end of Eid yesterday. So there was Eid parties. So they were going to an Eid party. As Judith said, like, the boys have to go to an Eid party. Judith, please, it's Eid. What? It says Eid here. No, it's Eid. So they were there. So they were dropped off there. Then I had to be back for a tutor was coming in. Well, Judith was away with that. So we got them all back, and then I had an hour for myself, which I did a bit of practice on the sim. Then everybody arrived back home, and we took them to the spa to swim for an hour and had dinner beforehand, and then came home, and then it was bedtime business. And it's like frigging from 7 in the morning to 9 at night. It's just nutty.
Bedtime business? Is that like code word for something else?
Bedtime business. Yeah, story, bedtime showers, business. Baths, pajamas,
yeah.
Suppers. Yeah, when you're doing it with five or six kids.
I was hoping for you, Robin. I was hoping.
Mm. No, that ain't happening.
No, that'll be Vegas.
Yeah, I have more chance in Vegas than I have here, let me tell you. So that's been pretty busy. This week coming up, I am away near Dublin tomorrow morning. And then on Wednesday, I've got some Germans flying in. The Germans are coming from a big oven company. And I have a meeting dinner for them on Wednesday night in Dublin. And then we've got a meeting with one of my big clients on Thursday morning.
You gonna break out little Nazi flags for them?
I might just do that. I might just make them feel at home, wouldn't it? Just don't mention the war.
Could you imagine?
Hey,
little cocktail flags.
Just to make us feel comfortable, guys. It's funny. I was in a Teams call with them, and I must go in and check it because I'm on my Teams call they'd never been with before, or also it was a Skype call. I think it was a Teams call, and the German came on. I went, "Bongo the scene." What is Bongo the scene? I went, you're seeing my alter ego here. So, so they're coming. And then, so that's a busy, another busy travel week this week. So that's going on. One thing, you were talking about cutting grass earlier on. So
yes.
Grass costs way too much. So,
grass costs way
too much? So for the last several years, I've had a guy come in. I've got a big, pretty big grassy garden-y bit to be cut. And I used to do it myself, but it takes so much time. So I employed a chap that came in, and in the summertime, he would come every week at its peak, and once every 2 weeks, and at this time of year, once a month. And he started now. And last year, the price went up a bit, and this year, it's went up again. And when we're getting it cut in the peak season, that'll be 4 visits, and he's up to 65 quid a time now.
Ooh.
Mm. Ooh. Where last year it was 40 odd, so you get, and it's just past that threshold now where I'm going, this is too much.
Yeah.
So I have
That is pretty expensive for a per visit.
Yeah, 65 a time. And if it was once a month, fair enough, but at most it'll be 3 to 4 times a month, and that's what teenage boys are for.
Why don't you just negotiate down to twice a month? I think that'd be more than enough.
No, I think we're going to tackle it. I mean, in fact, Judith was actually looking up. There's a house not that far away from us that has a little, and for the last few years, a little grass cutting robot.
Oh, grass cutting robot,
and it trundles around. But I think, this guy does. He comes and cuts all the grass and strims and weeds and, but I think, my only problem about getting the kids to do it is you have to bend their arms to do it. So if they want to do it and earn money, they have to do it without. So I might just say to the guy to just come once a month and strim, and I'm going to get the guys to do it on the other occasions. Because I was trying to buy I really need a ride-on lawnmower to do it efficiently, but they're big bucks.
Yeah.
Anyway. So yeah, today, nice day. Some of the, those other two little lads, they left in the afternoon. We had a nice dinner, and I'm trying to make best use of my time and getting ready. I needed a whole batch of selfies for thumbnails, so I got the tripod set up and took 100+ shots. And I sat this afternoon with the laptop and edited 84 selfies of me. I have a checklist. I have happy, sad, all the shots that I need. Angry. Frustrated, embarrassed. One finger, two finger, three fingers from the other way.
I don't want to know where they are.
Point left, point right. Annoyed.
This is for your OnlyFans.
Embarrassed. Yeah, all this stuff. Yeah. So yeah, there. So I have 84 new selfies to cover all occasions, from thoughtful. So I have a checklist that I go through, because when I don't do the checklist, I miss something out. So that's all done for those. And for preparation for Las Vegas, what I have been doing is night before last, quite late on, I watched 21. Which is interesting, counting cards. So when we were talking about counting cards earlier in the week, I don't know how counting cards helps you, because I can't count in myself. I would have to count out loud.
Okay. Real fast. Yes. Counting cards will only help you if you are playing a single or double deck.
Mm-hmm.
Single or double decks are pretty rare now in Vegas casinos.
All right.
They're usually going to be in continuous shuffle machines. It's usually anywhere from 6 to 8 decks. So counting cards kind of goes out the window.
Okay.
That was more, you could do that more efficiently back in the day. And counting cards ultimately, it helps you improve your odds, but it won't guarantee you.
I find that dividing by 7 and 8 is quite a challenge. So I don't think I would be very good at counting cards. But I joke. So you watched 21. I've one of my favorite movies, Ocean's 11. We've already watched it as well, so I'm well in there. I have never, ever watched The Hangover, and I'm quite frightened because
you've got to watch it.
It may be...
It's going to inspire you.
True to life?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if any of us lose a tooth out of this, I will be slightly shocked.
Slightly.
Not disappointed unless it's me. If it's me, I'm going to be pissed.
What if I lose my teeth? Is that what it count as well?
All your teeth? Yeah, that would be.
Leave them behind somewhere in the bathroom if I put them in the jar and forget to take them out? Or put them in your toothpaste jar and get them mixed up with your dentures?
I never take mine out, not in public. I did buy a blackjack game off Steam.
Oh dear!
So I'm not gonna lie, I have been playing blackjack, but like standard deck, not trying to count cards, just playing the percentage odds. And the way I play, usually I can break even. But the thing about it, here's the thing.
Oh dear.
My plan, whenever I go gamble at a real casino, because Indian casinos, I don't consider to be real casinos because they don't give you free alcohol. Vegas casinos and Reno casinos will give you free alcohol to encourage you to gamble more.
Right.
But my always plan is I go in, and if I can drink the same amount as I bet, that's a win.
Here's the thing.
That's my mindset.
Here's the thing, Greg. Right. Here's the thing.
Yes.
I'm not a gambler. I've played blackjack.
Oh, you will be.
I lost money, and I did, and I enjoyed it. It was a good night in the MGM Grand many, many, many years ago. I am not. I don't know what these words that you say now. I remember actually playing blackjack, and I must have, I twisted or hit or whatever the fuck you call it. And the girl that was playing beside me turned to the dealer and went, "What's he doing that for?" It must have been something really stupid I was doing. So I have no idea. So I will do a bit, but I'll probably watch.
I'll probably put money in
a slot machine or a one-armed bandit. I can do that. But I mean, the sort of research that I've been doing is, you know, do you realize how much many thousands of dollars the casinos pay to put nice scents of vanilla and stuff near their entrances to encourage people in? You know, I'm researching where you can buy a really good cheap taco at 3 in the morning. You know, that's the sort of stuff that I've been
research.
I've been doing that
research.
Stuff. And we're not
the
to be killed.
Part about Vegas is nothing really closes, so you're always going to be able to find those things. But I will tell you this, Robin.
Yes.
The experience of gambling with your friends when you take over a blackjack table and it's you, me, Mike, Pete, Marshy. There's nothing like that.
But what are we talking? I mean, are we talking? Fun. I mean, how much is it? So if one hand of poker is that $5? Is that a dollar? Is there a 25 cent
anymore.
Table?
There's no 25 cent tables. we'll be lucky to find a $10 minimum bet table.
Fuck off! Really?
No, no. Yeah.
So 10 hands. Yeah. That's like 10 minutes or less. I could be 100 doobies down.
How you play? But I can usually take $100 and sit down at a table and drink quite a few drinks and keep even. So that's my plan.
If I sit beside you and be bimbo, can I get a free drink because I'm there? Because I hear they do that as well sometimes to your partners.
Yeah, they'll let my bimbo drink.
Okay. That's good. Good. Good.
Robin the bimbo.
Good.
Robin the bimbo.
Yeah, because I mean, I want to go into, you know, the Venetian and get my photograph taken with the big love sign at the moment.
Well, okay.
See the big ball, the big new ball. Yeah.
We won't gamble at the Venetian. We won't gamble at Caesar's.
Okay.
We'll gamble at something like Treasure Island or Excalibur, some of the lesser casinos, because they will have lower limit tables.
Okay.
The big casinos, the really posh casinos like the Bellagio, you're not going to find a table for 25 and under.
Wow.
So it'll be $25 or more per hand.
Wow.
So, and especially during peak time. So the best time to gamble – if you want lower limit tables, it's usually like 3 a.m. when everybody's already drunk and gone home.
Okay. But how can you tell the time? Because there's no windows.
That's what the watch is for.
Yeah. And some of the slot machines now, I'm told, they have Wi-Fi charging points.
Like, oh, yeah. I will tell you now. Wow. One, they don't like you being on your phone at the table, which is kind of funny. So you can't be talking to somebody at the table. You have to step away. But they do – they design all these casinos for you not to be able to see the street.
Hmm.
They don't want you to see outside and see daylight is coming. And they make it purposely difficult for you to get out of there.
Funny, I remember that first time. Now, we were there in Las Vegas a few years ago, but I didn't bring the boy. We went into the casino, we played a slot for 5 minutes, and away we went. It wasn't our thing. But the time I was there before, MGM Grand was only open about a year. There was nothing else around it. But I remember going to my bed probably about 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and then about an hour later, waking up as bright as a button. And I swear they must have been pumping oxygen or something into the rooms to keep people awake and alive and perked up again. And away I went again. So, yeah, it's going to be class, man. It is going to be cool.
The casino coffee shops at like 3 a.m. are awesome.
Oh.
It's like one of the best times in the world ever to go. And
well,
like order
I'll
breakfast.
Tell you now, in my significant research, Greg, there is a Starbucks in the hotel
there's
we're at.
Starbucks everywhere.
But there's one in our hotel, but there's one also just outside our hotel as well. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, but I don't want to go to Starbucks.
Nor do I. I'm just letting you know. Yeah. I have all this information now. I know where not to get killed.
Oh, this is that well, actually is probably the most important information we could gather is where not to get killed.
I know, and not
but
to bring a prostitute
you,
back to my room.
Get killed, it's the side streets off of the main Vegas Strip.
Yeah, well,
it's trying to walk down a dark street to some scumbag hotel.
Yep.
How you'll get killed.
Be cool. They'll kill. Yeah. So there you are. So, rock on. So, that's my research.
Hey,
you know,
speaking of Vegas.
Yes.
Plans are being finalized.
Ooh.
So not only do we have a place to stay, we've got dinner reservations for a couple nights.
Cool.
We now have our gun range is set. So we're doing that on Friday. We're going to be picked up by a Humvee. And that's free. I love that because I was like, well, I don't know what packages you guys are going to want to do. Because they have all these different gun experiences.
Is there a hot tub?
Call of Duty Black Ops.
Is there a hot tub in the Humvee?
No.
Damn it, Greg.
I'm sorry. No hot tub in the Humvee. But they do, they pick you up for free, which I thought, I was like, oh, okay. And you don't have to commit to anything yet. We'll go to the gun range and then you'll buy your packages.
Are we buying a timeshare in gun ranges?
Yes. 100%. I have booked us our Top Golf for Sunday night.
Cool.
So we have a 2-hour bay booked. That includes food. Now, I was a little gun shy on this at first because, like, okay, this seems like a really steep price. They have a minimum food price. So the irony is it's only $200 for the bay, but we're committed to $330 worth of food and drink.
Each?
No, total.
Oh.
Which we'll blow through that in drinks. And then I'm going to be booking us our kart speedway racing gig.
It's $200 for the bay. Plus
330.
Plus another 330.
Correct. So 530 total.
This is going to hurt.
Yeah, but divided by five.
I don't want to. It's still going to hurt.
Everything costs money in Vegas. That's the difficult.
Yeah. And we're also.
I could have booked a lot more that would have cost even more. I mean, I was looking at helicopter tours that were $100 a person at night. I thought that could be fun.
Yeah. We can hijack one.
But yeah, I'm not trying to bleed you guys dry of your money. But you Vegas will try to bleed you dry of your money.
And so it's really good then I'm going to be wearing my Ricky Bobby outfit on the way. Because we're going racing car driving as well. So it's just my friend's on fire.
The kart racing. The fun part about the kart racing. You're going to get a little baklava, a little race car head baklava to put on.
Balaclava. It's like a flipping some champagne somewhere and caviar. Yeah, having some baklava and karting.
But the other thing about the Vegas Speedway, which I'm slightly intrigued by.
Yes.
Now, granted, again, it's like $300 a pop, but you could take laps in a Ferrari.
Yeah.
Or Lamborghini. They've got like 10 different vehicles. There's also an off-road one, which is basically you're using. Yeah. And there's a couple jumps on the track. Ooh. I'm like.
Oh, ATVs. Cool. Karting will be good. It'll be outside if it's hot.
Yeah.
And it's good. Karting's good fun. You'll be knackered after three races as well. So I'll be good fun. Yeah. Yeah. So shooting, eating, golfing, racing, gambling. Debauchery.
And whatever else we can find.
And then we can do.
We will find more.
And then we can get really drunk and then bet each other to run up a dark street and see who makes it back.
Yeah. The cheapest thing we might do is actually go to a show.
Yeah. God.
Which would be Robin Comedy getting
club.
Arrested.
Comedy club. Yeah. That'd be good. Yeah. I'm sure. We'll see. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Boomer's in the chat. Hello, Boomer.
Hello, Boomer.
Yeah.
Okay. What else has been going on? I'm distracted by Vegas. I'm looking at our Vegas plans. I'm not looking at them anymore. I'm going to be traveling to New York next week. That's going to be exciting, fun. Not so much. I fly out on Tuesday night. I'm doing a red eye, landing in New York on Wednesday, and then I turn around and fly back Friday afternoon.
Yeesh.
Work stuff. It's all right. It's okay. I've been watching the show The Night Agent on Netflix. I really like it.
Mm.
About four episodes in. It's not yet totally predictable to me, but I could see the potential for it to get predictable. So I'm holding off complete judgment, but I've been enjoying what I've been watching so far. We are attempting to give one of our cars to my mother-in-law. Her car, she has a 1984 Sentra.
Oh, wow.
This thing is on its last legs, dying. It could barely go up a hill without losing power. And so Cindy's like, yeah. She's like, I wanted to give my mom our car and then I'll buy a new car. Because her mom will not buy a new car. Well, now her mom is refusing to take our car. We'll see where we go with this. I told Cindy, just block her old car with our car. Put the keys on the counter and leave with your brother.
Oh, just pour a cup of sugar into her petrol tank. That'll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her car's dying anyway. So, Kim, I believe you recommended the book Cold as Hell to me.
Yes.
A ways back. I started listening to that audiobook today.
Okay.
So far, so good. Roger Clark is the narrator. Yeah. This is a Western setting. I'm trying to, there's a movie that was out. Oh God. It kind of reminds me of the book. It had, oh God, I'm going to, not Jeff Bridges, a Jeff Bridges like person in it. Anyway,
okay.
He was dead. The RIPD.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that. RIPD, very similar concept, but this is all set in the Old West and much more dark than the RIPD movies.
Right.
But it's good so far. I'm enjoying it. It takes a little, so I will just say this. I don't think Roger Clark can narrate anything other than a Western.
Right. I mean, all I hear
just his voice. Exactly.
Every time.
But I have been enjoying it. So I would definitely give it a little bit of a thumbs up so far.
And there's a new one coming out in May. The second one. So.
All right. I'm like on chapter 9, I think. So it's good stuff so far.
Hey, one more thing. I've been keeping an eye on a thing. You know the movie, The Flight of the Navigator?
Yes.
Yes. Compliance. Okay. There was a documentary made a year or so ago about, and it was called After the Navigator, I think is the correct term of it.
Sorry, hold on. I have to just...
Well, you're coming.
Nicole in the chat is saying petrol. I'm sorry, I'm an American, Nicole, as you should be. I don't say petrol. I say gas tank. Thank you very little. Continue on, Robin.
Yeah, blinkers. Yeah. Anyway, so the young chap that was, so this documentary is about mostly the young guy, the young boy that was in Flight of the Navigator, and his name is Joey something in real life. And he was a child star and he was about 12 years old. And when he finished that movie, he did another few bits and pieces, another few movies, and then his mum got him to go back to school. And he went back to school and thought, well, he'll rejoin the movie industry after he graduated and stuff like that there. He didn't. He got into a lot of trouble, drink, drugs, all the other bits and pieces, and then ended up in and out of jail to the point of about 5 or 6 years ago, was a complete and utter crackhead, and robbed a bank and done hard time. So this is a sort of documentary, is about the old movie, which is a real classic, and a cautionary tale, and about him getting his life back together again. And it is a success story. Now, he didn't kill anybody or anything like that, but it's very, very interesting, about a movie I love and about a sad tale of a young child who was abused because it's at 12 years old and throwing in a lot of those child stars, the Rat Pack back in the day. There's very, very few people made it out through. So that's an interesting one to look up and watch. There you go. Good.
Fair enough. All right. I think that does it.
What?
I'm just looking at our chat real quickly.
Go on. She's just she is a troublemaker. That Amaryllis she one. She's. I'm almost of a mind to give her a call and give her a piece of my mind.
Oh dear.
I thought we should give Pete a call just to get him on the podcast. Okay. He said, you know.
All right. That can be arranged. Right? That can be arranged. All right. Okay. So,
I think we should do some game time.
Okay.
If you want. Robin time.
Yeah. There.
Random calls with Robin.
Shall we play a game?
I want to play a game.
You are one pathetic loser.
Isn't that what random calls with Robin is? Just playing a game. It's like a Russian roulette thing.
Right.
Will they pick up? Will they not? You know, it's like, you never know. You never know.
Never ever.
Okay. Kim.
Yes.
You have quite the list of video games that you have been playing.
I do indeed.
I'm just starting this chat with you, but I know right now as I watch Robin doing his thing that we're going to end up getting somebody onto the phone and it will be awkward for a moment.
Indeed.
And this is again one of those moments where it's like, well, do you carry on? Do we stop everything?
No, you carry on.
Yeah. So we're gonna carry on. So Kim.
Alrighty.
Hi-Fi Rush, you continue to play?
I am continuing to play. I took a little break there a little while back, but I'm back at it now. I just took care of Roquefort. So the financial guy. I didn't see that coming, that he turned into a, you know. So that's fun. So now I'm at is it Kane's office? And there's
you're getting close to the end.
Yeah, there was a little bit of the plot twist there, which I will not spoil for people that are still playing this game. Well, much as I am. So, so I don't know. I'm still enjoying it. I still have no rhythm, but, you know, it's fun nonetheless. I don't quite agree with the reports out that are saying this game didn't make a whole bunch of money. I don't know. I'm enjoying it. So, you know, I think there were quite a few other people out there that played it and liked it as well.
I didn't cover that in the news because that was a random comment from Jeff Grubb on,
right.
I think it was the Giant Bombcast. He makes the comment about, you know, he heard from somebody inside that, you know, it didn't make enough money.
Right.
Aaron Greenberg came back out instantly saying, no, it met all of our expectations, including financial.
Right.
And to that point, and this is, again, I didn't cover it in the news section, but we can cover it here.
Right.
Tango Gameworks actually has opened up and they're expanding to 150 employees. So, something went right with that game.
Right.
So I find it hard to believe that a company that did not like the results of the game would then invest more in that studio.
Right, exactly.
So
anyway, Hi-Fi Rush, I'm still plugging away at it. Like I said, I'm thinking I'm getting close to the end there considering where I'm at. So yeah, even if you're not real good at these games or you don't think this is something you'll like, give it a shot anyway. It's on Game Pass anyhow, so you're not going to be out of anything.
Hi-Fi Rush is a game everyone should play.
Right.
And I know, you know, Robin won't because it's not a racing game.
Right.
Mark won't because he has this predetermined notion in his head that it's Japanese anime, but it really doesn't come across as Japanese anime. I think there's a couple, and I say couple as in like one, maybe two moments where I thought, okay, that was a little bit anime-like.
Yeah.
The cat is probably the closest thing you could say. But
I like the cat. So.
I didn't find like your typical Japanese anime.
Right.
There's
nobody running around with like ginormous boobs or anything like that going on. So
no, and also I think the way, you know, a lot of anime, like they depict action in these kind of like freeze frame, you know, shots where they're like screaming something and then they like kind of freeze frame on their faces, they're talking, that kind of thing.
Right.
They don't do that in this game at all. Again, animations, everything, top notch, well done. And the voice acting way better than it should have rights to be based on the kind of game that it was supposedly going to be, which was this surprise. I won't call it indie because certainly Tango Gameworks is not an indie studio.
Right.
But small budget title coming out of nowhere. It was a passion project. And this game is fantastic.
Agreed. I agree with that all wholeheartedly. So Hi-Fi Rush, if you haven't played it, give it a shot.
Now, I'm very curious about this next one. I was tempted by this.
Forza
Horizon
5. All right.
Yes.
Yeah, I went ahead and got the rally expansion because the rally bit of it, other than like the off-road stuff, was kind of my favorite thing because I still have street races and shit to do, but I don't like the street races, especially where they had them. So, you know. But anyway, I bought the rally expansion. I started that this weekend because I've kind of put it off for a while because I did try to play it on the Razor Edge, and the controls for it for me was finicky, and I didn't like the controls the way it handled, so it was back to the big TV and my Elite controller and all that. So yeah, it's pretty good so far. Like I said, it's scratching that rally itch I guess I've got, which sounds really gross, but anyway, it's just really good.
It's an ointment for that, Kim.
I hope so, because dear Lord, no.
Anyway, so I have a question.
Right.
So okay, so Forza Horizon typically is very arcadey.
Right.
But one thing I noticed with the rally expansion is it seemed to be a bit more sim-like in like they actually have the co-pilot to call out turns, which that surprised me.
Which I have to get used to because I'm not used to that. So, you know, but it's not too bad. I'm getting along with it. But I do enjoy it, even with the guy yelling at me, telling me where to go. So.
Some here.
Right. Although I did find out there are apparently chickens on the track, which I didn't know about at first because I was telling Boomer this yesterday we were playing, and I kept seeing out of the corner of my eye these little orange triangles flying off to the side of the track, and I'm like, what the fuck is that? They look like mini like road cones, and it wasn't until later I was out driving, just randomly driving to different things. There are actually chickens, and that's what those fucking flying orange things that flew off the track were chickens.
Orange chickens?
Yeah, that well, like brownish orange chicken. Okay. I mean, they didn't look like a road cone, but for me, out of the corner of my eye, as I'm driving along, it looked like to me I was hitting road cones, or I was hitting something that was flying off the track, and I couldn't for the life of me figure out what the hell I was doing. And that's what it is. It's the chickens. They
this literally is a robin game. Then that's right, what I'm hearing.
Yeah, you know,
just I tried knocking to run over bastards. Chickens left and right.
Right. Yeah, I was trying to run little bastards over, but you can't do it. But they fly just like right out of the way, real quick. So there you go. If you like, okay. You know, racing with chickens, rally expansion. So right. Yeah, I'm getting along with that pretty good. Let's see what else. Call of Duty, as normal. Here, what's it been? Last weekend, I think that's when I missed the podcast. Me and Boomer and my nephew Anthony decided to play a little multiplayer, and it was going well. You know, I finished. Mid of the list, bottom of the list, you know how I am. My freaking little nephew, 10 years old, I swear to God, he has better reaction time than I'll ever have. Bullshit. He was up at the top of the list, or he was like second, or he was third. And of course, when he sees his aunt at the bottom of the list, of course, the smack talk starts from a 10-year-old. So, yeah, that was not fun. I actually had to threaten him once or twice that if he didn't stop, I was going to turn it off. That's... And me and Boomer would not play with him anymore, so...
Does he use a controller that uses traditional batteries?
Yes.
That's when you put a couple batteries that are almost dead in his controller.
I might have to do that, yeah. But yeah, oh yeah, he was sitting there and he was just bang, bang, bong. And he was like, Kim, why are you down at the bottom of the list? Because my reaction time is apparently not as good as yours, you little jerk. You're 10. I'm almost 45, you know, bite my ass. So, thank God he's used to his aunt and, you know, the way she spouts off, so... We're all good there. That was fun, but I did tell him we're going to have to get him on Battlefield and see how he, because he's hardly ever played Battlefield, so I'm hoping I can regain a little bit of street cred that way. I won't tell him that we're playing against bots or anything. I'll just, you know, turn him loose.
Okay. All right.
He has little ass goes. A new one on the list is Book of Demons. I picked this up in the Xbox sale here. Oh, shoot. What's it been? A couple of weeks ago, they had the real big sale, spring sale, or whatever the hell it was. They had it for like $7. I think I got it for free here on Prime Gaming once, but yeah, whatever. It's a hack and slash isometric RPG, I guess you call it. And it's very much in a paper, like a book style, like a paper, kind of like Paper Mario. You know how it looked like? It was like cut out pictures from a paper and things like that. That's kind of the way this is. And it's got a deck kind of situation with it where it will give you certain like actions with a deck of cards, with the cards, or like health spells and that sort of thing. It's not like like a, I don't know how I'm gonna put this. It's not like a deck building game like you would think, like you have to put the card down to fight the guy or whatever. It's not really like that, but you do draw cards so you can get different weapon actions and that sort of thing. It's kind of hard to explain. But anyway, and it lets you
Diablo-esque.
Yes, very much. And it lets you, it's basically what it is. You come into this town, their church has been taken over by demons. So you are sent down into the,
as it happens.
Yeah. Right. So you're sent down to the basement of this church to kind of clear out all the demonic levels. And there's a,
why are all these demons healer. In churches? Seriously.
I was just going to say, it's always the basements.
Yeah.
Right.
Can these demons just not just like infest on top of the, you know, the streets? Right? Do we always have to go in the basements?
Nobody wants to go in the basements. I mean, they're scary. So anyway, like I said, it's I've been playing it. And what's neat is it lets you determine the size of the dungeon you're going to attack. Say if you've only got 15 minutes to play, they actually have a really small dungeon for like 12 minutes. You can go through, kill all the bad guys. Or if you want a bigger dungeon, that you can go all the way up to like an hour to clear out this dungeon and do different things. So I don't know. Like I said, for $7, I'm enjoying it. I do like the little...
Sounds like the BDSM club that Pete goes to. There's a 15-minute room. There's a 35-minute room.
Right. So I'm enjoying it. I like the little paper style it's got going on, that sort of thing. Okay. Let's see. Another one is Mighty Doom. It's a mobile game.
Yes, this is the mobile Doom game, right?
Yes. That I downloaded here a while back, and basically it's what it says it is. You are a Doom guy, and you kill various demons and whatever the hell there is. So it's good. It works on my little Edge thing. It's touch screen, so I don't actually have to use the controller for it. But I mean, if you're looking to kill a few minutes and you know want to kill some demons, Mighty Doom, go for it.
Okay.
And last but certainly not least, because I'm starting to run out of wind here. Rise.
Breathe.
Rise, Son of Rome. They had
I've seen that.
On the rewards deal where you can get 3 achievements, and this is one of the games you can pick from to get your 3 achievements from. So I've been in and out on this game for a while anyway, so I fired it back up again. And, you know, it really is a pretty good game. I played it on my Razer deal sitting on the couch one night, and I kind of enjoyed it. So
I really liked Rise, Son of Rome. The only knock I had on it, for me personally, was the enemy types.
Yeah,
right.
You'll see that they repeat them a lot.
Yeah, they're on the, you get the same ones a lot. Now,
They all shop at the same antler place.
But again, that's the only downside. The game itself, apart from that, is superb.
Yeah.
Right. So I enjoyed it. Like I said, my only pick, I think, was on the Razer anyway. The camera angles were a little bit wonky, so I'd be getting stabbed by some guy off to the side, but I couldn't see him, so I didn't know why I was dying. But after a while, I'd figure that out, and it would be fine. So yeah, I don't know. I liked it. I'm going to have to go back to it and eventually just finish it, because I've started this thing 3 or 4 times and pick it up for achievements and then set it back down. But it is a really nice game, and I really do like it. I do like the sword and smacking against the shield thing. That's, I don't know why. I'm weird.
It's a skirts. It's a man in skirts thingy.
We are Sparta, right?
Sparta.
That whole thing going on, you know.
I really liked, they have a horde mode in this game. It is insanely difficult.
Right.
You're just basically trying to survive wave after wave. And you're like in a gladiator's arena.
Uh-huh.
So you'll have to check that out. And I forgot the specific name of the actual mode. But yeah, check it out. It's I think it's meant to be played co-op, or you can play it co-op. But you can also play it solo. It is all about the timing and the parry system when you're in that particular mode. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff. I really, really liked Rise, Son of Rome. I wish they would do a sequel. I think Crytek has the rights to the sequel, mm-hmm. although Microsoft, I think, has publishing first rights. So it's kind of one of those weird things where Crytek owns the rights to the game, but Microsoft gets first crack at publishing it. And so far, nobody's said, we want to do it again. The game that had Kinect integration originally.
Right. I remember that.
Yeah. So you could yell at your Kinect camera to throw a spear, and it was just like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. all right. Awesome.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Robin.
Yeah.
Let's talk about crashing.
Okay. Shall we? Shall we crash a game? Okay, so this has been an unbelievable week for Assetto Corsa Competizione. So this week, the ACC update came. It's been about almost a year and a half since there's been DLC, and it's the 1.9 update came. And with the 1.9 update, it cost about £12. Very good value compared to some other racing things like iRacing, which is £12 a car. For this, you got a new track, Valencia, in Spain. 3 new cars, the Porsche, which is on the screen now, which is I've now upgraded to this 992 Porsche, a brand new Ferrari, and a Lamborghini. But not only that, all of the tyre physics have changed. All of the suspension physics have changed completely and utterly. Changed and
massively changed.
So all of this, all of your setups are now completely worthless. They are just
right,
and everyone is in the same boat.
You guys have to be pissed off about that.
It is more realistic. It is so some of the tire physics stuff. Not to bore you, but when you go a rubber tire, there's air in it, and If it's a solid piece of rubber in an ordinary simulation, there would be no movement in the rubber. That wouldn't be an effect. So now there is rubber. The tires actually move, so it actually feels like you're on fucking jelly. So what it has meant is these cars are now unbelievably hard to drive again. I mean, it's like a brand new game where everybody is in the same boat. I posted a video today on my YouTube channel, mongosbits.com, going through my feelings on it and how it's been where I had the older Porsche, which I was having so much trouble with, and going into Kyalami and the race before, I had it pinned down, so I was having firsts and seconds. I had at Kyalami in South Africa, I had my first ever pole position. And yeah, now they've changed everything.
And I think, so this is okay. So this is kind of the weird thing. So I'm sure from a developer standpoint, they're like, you know, this is great. We're updating the game for our players. It's going to be more realistic. It's going to be better.
Right.
And on the surface, yes. The problem is, as you well know, because you, I believe, have invested in paying some people for some setups, because it is such a rabid fan base, and you have this kind of pro or semi-pro circuit, if you will, where people are investing real money to get better, and they kind of threw all of that out.
Yeah.
And so your money you've invested is just worthless now.
Well, yeah. Well, the setup companies, if you do subscribe to some of them, they are giving updates for those now.
Okay.
So they will come.
Okay, that's good.
But it'll be a week or two or a month or two before they actually start to get some really good setups. Now, there are people out there that know how to adjust the dampers and the toe and the camber and roll bars and all of that stuff really, really well. And they will get around it, but there is, even with all of that, the physics have changed quite a lot. So the track that I on the screen right now is Zolder. We go into week four of this season's championship, and this is where the race is this time round. I did 80 odd laps last night, and 20 in my hour earlier on in the day. So it's about 100 laps yesterday. And before the update came, I took my old car out onto the track to see if there was, you know, to give a comparison. And after 100 laps, I am still 0.3 a lap slower than the old car. So it's going to take a bit of time. But we'll get there. We will get there. So it's a new challenge, I suppose, as well. And everybody is in the same boat.
Right.
Which is something. But we're doing well in this championship. We've done, you know, we've had some very, very good results. And the little community, we're having good community. We had a good community race. That was yesterday. And one of the chaps had set up a race server. And we were in the race server. And we were together. And we could compare notes. Because if you think about it, in a multiplayer game, a bit like Call of Duty, you're in with all these people, but you don't compare notes about the map. And generally in a race, you're with 30 or 40 people, and the only interaction you have with them is if you're telling them off or reporting them or whatever. So it's great to have people in there that are going, we change a gear there, or we do that. And it's been really good. So the community side of things has been absolutely fantastic. And I suppose a little term that one of the guys said yesterday in the Discord channel, and it lives rent-free in my head forever right now. He's from Texas, Matthew. He said, "I'd piss on an electric fence for an extra 0.5 seconds." And I've never heard that before. And I think it must be quite a Texan thing. And
oh, no, it's a Midwest thing, too.
Yeah. And then somebody posted a little video or a GIF up of some guy pissing on an electric fence and getting electrocuted.
Yeah, I wouldn't suggest it.
Why would anybody ever do that? But yes, I like the term.
People are stupid.
I'd piss on an electric fence.
Why would somebody ever put a Tide pod in their mouth?
Right.
People are dumb.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's where we are. So it's going to be a very interesting week because everybody's going to be slipping and sliding about a bit. That's just the way of it. So that's me. That's what I'm up to.
Now, Robin, I'm sorry again. Your Porsche that you're driving now, it's the 992.
992. GTR 3.
You know, if you wanted, Robin, you could drive a 992 in Vegas.
I could.
Five laps, $549.
Yeah.
But you'd be driving it.
Yeah.
Flat out on a speedway.
No, you wouldn't. No, you'd have some.
Yeah, you would.
No, you wouldn't. You'd have some guy sitting beside you going, slow down, slow down, slow down. No, don't do that.
You might have a co-driver with you, but they actually do let you get out on the track with a car. Just saying. Do it. All right.
Maybe. You never know.
Moving on. Okay. For me, Halo multiplayer, as always, we got in a Wednesday session. Sadly, I will be in New York this week, so we will not be playing, or I will not be playing Halo, that is. But, you know, good fun with that. That game still continues to shine. Love it. I'm going to go I'm jump around a little bit on you, Robin. I'm going to go to Vampire Survivor next. This game just continues to be fun. There is just something about it. It has this addictive hook to it of just trying to get better or higher up, if you will, in your levels. And so I finally got up to level 81. And I introduced this game to Steve Conger, and now he cannot stop playing it. He has been screenshotting, sharing pictures with me of getting up, and he just crested 104 on his level. So at that point, though, in the game, it is just bonkers, insane. Weirdly, when I hit level 81, and I don't understand it, might be map specific, because I've been kind of every time I've been unlocking another map, I just jumped to the new map. But this map in particular seems like it hits like almost like a time limit, and then suddenly it's just instant kill. And so I haven't quite figured out what's going on with that. But overall, this game is just fun. And it's so simple in its design, which is you don't shoot anything. You are just running around trying to survive, but you arm yourself with these different weapons and upgrades that auto shoot.
Ah.
And so you start off with a base weapon, and then you will get, you know, as you kill enemies, you get experience gems. The more gems you get, your levels increase. And then each time your levels increase, it will give you a number of choices of what you can do. It's usually one of three choices. And one might be the base weapon you have, increasing that, or it'll be introducing a new weapon. And so the game really is about finding the right combination of weapons and what to upgrade when to make yourself just insanely overpowered. And so that's what ends up, you know, once you get into level 80, you are just killing pretty much anything that comes near you. It's just like this maelstrom of weapons firing off all around you. It is just chaos, but like controlled chaos. And there's something oddly satisfying about the sound of the experience and the popping of the enemies as you're killing them. So again, it has this just addictive kind of feeder system to it. It is brilliant. It is simplistic, but there is a complexity to it. Don't be fooled. You will have to think about kind of how you level up, and that is the challenge. It's how you do it versus just kind of mashing your way through it, so to speak. So yeah, Vampire Survivor, really enjoying it. And then the other game I fired up, Uncalled for. I let you talk about your racing. Just saying. Ghostwire Tokyo.
It was a dick move.
All right. Ghostwire Tokyo. I fired it up. So oddly, it defaults into Japanese.
Right.
Which, okay, should be expected.
What's going on with you?
I think I'm turning Japanese.
You really do understand what that song's about.
Yeah. Anyway. What's this called?
Ghostwire.
It starts off in Japanese, and I quickly realized, because it had English subtitles for me, which I appreciated, but I was just like, I don't like playing games with subtitles. Especially because you're trying to watch what's going on screen, it's hard to then focus on a subtitle. So I quickly started trying to change that option. But my fear was the voice acting for the English version was going to be really bad. Pleasantly surprised, not bad. But I did have to restart the game because you could not do the dialogue changes in game. You had to do it from the main menu. So I was early enough in the game. I just started it all over again. The crux of the game, or the basics, is you are this character on your way to your sister who is in the hospital, and you're kind of, you're trying to get there in a hurry. You get into a car accident. Amidst the car accident, you basically die. You get possessed. shit goes batshit crazy from there forward. And then your new task in life is you are trying to basically kill these different spirits and demons that are trying to inhabit the world. And so you do that by kind of ripping the soul out of them. It plays like a first-person shooter. It is cutscene heavy, so you will have a lot of interactive cutscenes, or not interactive cutscenes, but cutscenes where you you cut to story, and then you go back into the gameplay bit. So far I've been enjoying what I've been playing. It's, I would call it more creepy than scary. You know, they do a couple of those jump scare kind of things, and they're not even jump scare things, but you'll be walking down a hallway, the lights will flicker, and you'll see a shadow that'll dart across part of the hallway, but nothing ever is actually jumping out at you. You're pretty well knowing where your enemies are, and stealth definitely comes into play, so you'll try and sneak up on a lot of these enemies to attack them. The controls, I think, is my one area of complaint for this game. Mm-hmm. I think it can control a little more smoothly. I'm surprised it doesn't play a little bit more smoothly like a shooter should. But you're not firing a gun. You are using kind of supernatural powers, but it still plays like a first-person shooter. You can kind of aim with your hands to launch these different attacks. I will continue to play it. I so far, story is good enough. It's intriguing. Voice acting seems good. It doesn't seem overly Asian, anime-esque. So that's another thing that's a positive. Again, I would have been checked out. If this had come across very anime-like, I would have just been like, no. But it's not. Outside of it's being set in Tokyo, I mean, this could really be set in any modern city, and you would have been like, okay. So... I would say yes. Give it a shot.
Okie dokie.
I can't read, apparently.
No, you don't have a brain. To say. No brain.
I don't know. No. That might be old. I'm old. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Am I the president? What?
Ice cream. Spell it. Right. Okay, tell me. Hold on. Yeah. Spell the number 8. This is a... test to see if you're the president or not. Spell the number 8, Greg.
I don't want to spell the number 8. Why do I have to spell the number 8? What are we talking about?
Please spell the number 8.
E-I-G-H-T.
You're not the president. Good stuff.
Okay.
He failed miserably at that this week. Anyway.
All right. Hey, let's talk about some news, Robin.
Here is the fucking news.
I'm not going to lie. I did feel like Joe Biden for a second because I had no clue what the hell was going on.
How come I know more about the president than you? It's terrible.
I'm not watching news these days. I'm so despondent with what's going on in the country. I'm just like checked out. That's the truly sad, sad, sad part of it. Anyway, all right, Robin.
Walmart. Sony buys Fireworks Studios. Herman Hulst, head of PlayStation Studios. I'm excited. He's excited as Herman to announce that we have expanded our relationship with the Fireworks Studios and are thrilled to welcome them to PlayStation Studios. Firewalk is home to a remarkably talented team of creatives who have launched some of gaming's most celebrated experiences, and they are already hard at work on their first original AAA multiplayer game for PlayStation. Unknowns to them, at least 30% of them will be handed their payslip and asked to leave. Since announcing our publishing partnership with Probably Monsters and Firewalk in 2021, we continue to be impressed by the team's ambitions to build modern multiplayer game that connects players in innovative new ways. Okay, this is, yeah, okay, what do they do?
Yeah. So I don't think you need to read much more of this. I think the underlying not said thing here is we bought Fireworks Studio to work in tandem with Bungie to help build us the next Call of Duty.
Right, exactly.
Huh.
Yeah, okay. When I hear a AAA multiplayer game from PlayStation, I hear this is what we want to replace the money we're going to lose from COD.
Yes, There you go. Xbox has disabled screenshot sharing to Twitter following an API change. Microsoft confirmed it made a change in a tweet from the official Xbox account. We have disabled the ability to share our game uploads to Twitter directly from the console and game bar on Windows. You can still share your favorite moments to Twitter via the Xbox app and Android. Why is that?
Well, Elon, as much as I love Elon, he's done a lot of good things. He has updated their API for companies in particular. And so now, I guess Xbox was being charged about $42,000 per month in order to access Twitter's new enterprise package. The comment here was the higher tiers give researchers or businesses access to larger volumes of tweets, 100 million to 200 million tweets respectively, and the cost is anywhere from $125,000 to $210,000 a month.
Wow.
So Twitter is trying to make money. That ultimately, you know, Elon had said this when he bought it, he was going to turn it around to make money. This is how he is trying to do it.
Okay. Well, it's a spaceship to pay for.
He does.
Diablo,
which, by the way, that launch was pretty awesome. Until it
was.
It blew up.
It was kind of right, round and round exploded. In circle and circle. Yeah. But again, the payload was data, so that was it. So class. Diablo 4 is getting its final open beta weekend in May with unique rewards dubbed the Server Slam. The event will be free to everyone and will take place on May the 12th and to 14th. As the name suggests, Blizzard says the event is designed to give players one final weekend in hell to experience a fraction of what Diablo 4 has to offer while simultaneously at the same time testing the capabilities of its servers prior to launch. The event will give players access to the prologue and the entirety of Act 1 and the first zone and will let them build a character up to a level cap of 20. Players who take part will be able to earn a mount trophy which will carry over to the main game if they can defeat the beta's hardest enemy. Good stuff.
Who doesn't want a mount?
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I think they're looking to basically get as many people on at one point period of time to see if they can just stress those servers out to the max.
Right.
I might take part in this beta. I avoided the previous ones. I was like, I'll just wait for the game. But then who doesn't like to get a mount? Robin, do you want to be mounted? I mean, get a mount?
Well.
Vegas, maybe.
You put it like that.
Yeah, well, that's on the 12th to the 14th of May, so means you'll have your mount before you come, so.
That's the order in which it happens.
Xbox is working on a mystery sequel that says that could take 10 years to make. We'll all forgot about it by then. As spotted by Axios' Stephen Totillo, the game was mentioned in court documents relating to an ongoing legal challenge in which a group of self-identified gamers are trying to block Microsoft acquisition of Activision Blizzard. Is there something going on between Activision Blizzard and Microsoft?
I've heard rumors. Okay. One, this 10-year game thing, I'm pretty sure this is Elder Scrolls 6.
Okay.
So they've already talked about it. They've already talked that it's been in development. It's been in development since, 2018 when they kind of first announced it. And they've said it's not going to come anytime soon. So my guess is that's the game that is
10 years but to me.
The interesting thing was this is coming out of this antitrust suit that was basically dismissed, but the judge that dismissed the case had given these people a 20 days to kind of come back and basically make a better case.
Huh.
In a nutshell, the judge said, look, you're not making your case. That's why this should be a legal proceeding, but you have 20 days to refine your legal challenge and then resubmit it in an amended lawsuit and we'll consider. So that's what they have done, and part of that was they took this in there, and I guess this is how they're trying to say the Activision Blizzard deal could be anti-competitive because it takes upwards of 10 years to make these big games, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I mean, I think it's obvious, yes, some games take a long time to make. We know this.
Right.
The interesting thing is these people are still trying to do this lawsuit. I thought that was actually the one takeaway game for this. I'm like, they're really still trying to do this. If there's never been a more frivolous use of our courts, I don't know what is.
Right.
This is it. gamers that are angry and they want to bring it to the courts. So anyway, that's it.
Anyway, that's your news. Not much news, but we have to get the Microsoft thing in there. So Activision every week. So it was there. Some new releases are coming up now.
Yeah. Kim, this actually might be more interesting than the news.
Hey. Alrighty, your new releases for April 23rd to April 30th are, which is basically now to the end of the month, we have After Image for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One and Switch, and PC. Oops, I don't know why I thought that was separate. Anyway, April 25th.
Strayed I don't know why I thought that said After Marriage. I don't know. Go figure. Well, maybe after Vegas, After Marriage will be a thing.
Strayed Lights for the PS5, Xbox Series XS, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on the 25th as well. Desta, The Memories Between for the Switch and PC on the 26th. Bramble, The Mountain King for the PS5, PS4, Xbox Series XS, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on the 27th. Kazuna AI, Touch the Beat. Maybe I don't want to. For the PS4, the Switch, the PSVR, and the PC on the 27th as well. Then we have Lego Brick Tales for iOS and Android on the 27th. Live Alive. I keep saying this thing. Or Live Alive, maybe? I don't know. Whatever it is. Live Alive for the PS5 and PS4 and PC on the 27th. Omega Strikers for the Switch on the 27th. One I'm interested in, The Last Case of Benedict Fox for the Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One and PC on the 27th. Also going to be on Game Pass, so yay. Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak for the PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PS4, Xbox One on the 28th. And last but not least, one I'm sure there's a bunch of you that can't hardly wait for, we have Star Wars Jedi Survivor for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, and PC on the 28th. So,
this looked pretty good.
I'm half tempted to pick up Star Wars Jedi. Mark and I were talking about it. It could be a shared cost. But then I think about it, just after that is going to be Redfall. So maybe I wait on Star Wars Jedi for a little bit, see if it goes on sale.
Yeah, with your winnings from Vegas, you can buy it.
There you go.
Hey. Somebody every once in a while wins.
The dude abides.
The house always wins. The dude abides. They don't build those places for nothing.
Exactly.
Can I get cowboy boots? And like a Stetson and stuff?
We're going to go to the pawn shop, by the way. That is one of the things we're doing. We're going
with,
to the pawn
with
shop.
Rick and the guys.
Yeah. Well, we could go to that one, or we just go to, I mean, they have a lot of pawn shops in Vegas.
I wouldn't mind going to the one where they
get cash for gambling.
Where Rick and the guys, I know they're not there, and you can go in and you can buy they now sell like a mix box, like a mystery box thing in Rick's pawn shop as well. You can
get more than I do about Rick's pawn shop.
Vegas research, man. You should see my YouTube stream. Like, it's racing videos, Las Vegas, cheerleaders. And you know, really, that's all there is.
I've done plenty of research on cheerleaders. That's a different topic.
Meal.
Yeah.
The ones that throw the people up, hold them up, the muscles.
It's where they hold them up. That's the curious thing. It's all about the hand placement, Boomer. All about the hand placement. All right. Let us move forward. I guess it's really kind of the show. There's really not much more to move forward. We've moved everything along nicely today.
Good.
Yeah, it was a little bit shorter show.
Not really.
Hour
and a half.
It'll finish out on average. Hour and a half-ish.
Ish.
Did we get a person to call or no? Did that fall through?
I'm not calling anybody.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, fine. Build us all up.
I tried Pete.
A little pissed.
He didn't bother.
Right?
He just didn't bother answering.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah. He didn't.
Didn't even want to. See how it is. All right, well, Kim, start us off with some shout-outs.
All righty, a shout-out to you guys, as always. It's like our little therapy session for the week, so I'm glad to be back for that. Shout-out to our chat. Boomer is in there. Emma has been in there. Lord has been in there. So thanks, you guys, for stopping by and keeping the chat going. It's been fun today. It's fun all the time, usually, because there's usually someone in there. So, yeah. But it was really fun today. So thanks, you guys, for stopping by and keeping the chat going. Mother Nature, get your act together. I'm tired of being cold. So it's almost May. Let's just stop with the bullshit, get the 70s and 80s here, and be done with it. So
yes, here too. Know.
And last but not least, shout out to my dad. Happy birthday, old feller. I know you won't hear this unless I play it, and happy then I probably won't because it'll embarrass me because, you know. So anyway, happy birthday, Pop. Over to you, Robin.
One shout out. I'm going to shout out my friend Costantinos Costas. He's out in Athens in Greece, and he runs a channel called Lovely Sim Racing, and he sent me this fabulous t-shirt, which says... Just one more race, and then I'm off, which is very cool. Thank you very much for that. And check him out. He's a really clever guy. He's designed this whole dashboard. He's probably going to get picked up by a big hardware company because it's a fabulous piece of software that he's designed. All out of love. So, the next time we talk, Greg, it'll be the next time we talk. So... But I can't wait.
Could not have been more. I mean, I can't argue with that, Robin. You are absolutely correct.
Yeah.
The next time we talk will be the next time we talk.
Yeah. Facts. Facts are very important.
We will be that much closer to D-Day or V-Day. V-Day. We'll call it
V-Day. V-Day.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Shout out to the two of you.
Thank you.
I was going to say three, but there's not. Fuck Pete. I am very much looking forward to our trip. I'm not looking forward to my trip to New York. I think it's just going to be a lot of traveling. I was going to go somewhere with all of this. There really was something to be said. I do love the chat. I love our community. They have been awesome, even if they're giving me a hard time about phrasings and things. That's okay. I can live with it.
What was the balaclava again? The bell.
It's just a giant condom.
Not a very good one. It's got a hole in it.
No. It has a big hole in it. All right. On that note, let's get us out of here. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Same time next week.